Hey, this is Enigma September, and you're now listening to the Enigma Sep Hour. The podcast is brought to you by Freedom Train Radio. Shouts out to Joe Ward and Patrick Irvine. Freedom Train Radio is supported by PAX Inc. You can find information about the organization at www.pactsinc.org. To my podcast listeners, make sure to check out the live recording of the podcast on my YouTube page at youtube.com/EnigmaSep927. That's E-N-I-G-M-A-S-E-P-T 927. Remember to hit the like and subscribe buttons and leave comments so I know that you were there. I might even give you a shout out on the podcast. Maybe. While you're on YouTube, also make sure to check out my bro, Big Low, and his Ill Coffee vlog at youtube.com/BigLowHipHop. And check out my young homie, Backpack Beats, and his Beats and Vlog series at youtube.com/BackpackBeats. Remember, that's Backpack Beats with a Z. If you want your song played on the podcast, shoot me your track in MP3 or waveform to my email at enigmaself@gmail.com. Make sure to tag the track with your name and the title of the song. It doesn't have to be clean. Also, add a short bio about yourself and any important information about the song or upcoming project in the email. Lastly, make sure to follow me on all social media. You can find me at EnigmaSelp9 on Twitter, at EnigmaSelp on IG and TikTok, and on Facebook at facebook.com/EnigmaSelp and facebook.com/EnigmaSelp9. Now that we have that out the way, let's get to the first song of the day. This is the Enigma Sep album. You got time, baby. Yurt.
Would you believe it or not? If I told you I'm gonna make it to the top. The struggle's real, man. We all been through a lot. I'm on my grind now. That won't ever stop. Would you believe it or not? If I told you we gon' make it to the top. The struggle's real, man, we all been through a lot. I'm on my grind, haters praying that I flop. Nah, would you believe it or not? If I told you I'm gon' make it to the top. The struggle's real, man, we all been through a lot. I'm on my grind now, that will never stop.
Believe it or not, the people doubted Robert Ripley. I've been gifted with this rap and still never been down a chimney. Knew a girl at fam, you stay stone, passing like kidneys. These women hitting my line can't respond, cause I've been busy getting paid. But my thoughts could care less about your pennies. Middle finger to your world, and tonight I'm feeling kinky. Mom and dad always made a way. Clothes was never dingy. Gifted kid, I was skinny, hardcore. Might drop 50, heart broke when shit didn't work out. With me and Kimmy, watch your biggest blessings always turn into the greatest lessons. I'm never stressing on what God be testing us with. Allah give me the strength to pass your final exam. Soon as you mention the greatest, I bet I ain't exempt. Ain't no scar on my face. Looked up and I am the blimp. Looked up and I am the blimp. Zion above the rim. My first championship.
Would you believe it or not? If I told you I'm gonna make it to the top. The struggle's real, man. We all been through a lot. I'm on my grind now. That will never stop. No. Believe it or not, if I told you we gon' make it to the top. The struggle's real, man, we all been through a lot. I'm on my grind, haters praying that I'm flat.
Winning this game, my nigga, but we ain't winning enough. Only the strong be surviving through the hate, I rise above. Always knew back then what day what I would become. I keep it 10 toes down and vow to never give up. Can say my life has been good, I'm holding 2 thumbs up. Some nights when food was gone, I'm missing out on the crumbs. You praying for rainstorms, it comes with floods in the mud. I gotta get on the road, hometown ain't showing me love. Soon as I'm selling out shows and open up world tours, my face all up in the source. Now everybody my cuz, I did this shit just because, exposing all the facade, cause family y'all wanna cut. You know I keep me some guards, they calling us rap gods. I tell them hold the applause, I'm going Beastie Boy, intergalactic star, intergalactic star, intergalactic star. I bet they know who we are, who knew I'd make it this far.
Would you believe it or not, if I told you I'm gonna make it to the top. The struggle's real, man, we all been through a lot. I'm on my grind now, that will never stop. No, would you believe it or not? If I told you we gon' make it to the top. The struggle's real, man, we all been through a lot. I'm on my grind, haters praying that I'm flat. No.
mill, I've been through a lot. I'm on my grind, I won't ever stop. Believe it or not, who knew we make it to the top? The struggle's real, we've been through a lot. I'm on my grind, I won't ever stop. Sharif Knockout, on the court.
Boom, 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 and we are back. This is the Nick Masep. I was your boy, Nick Masep. Glad you guys can make it for another week. We survived. The world didn't end. How about that? Anyway, what you just heard was the new single. Ain't even out yet. Well, it is now because I got it. With Sharif Knockout with Believe It or Not or Nah. Yo, I had to beg Sharif to give me the doggone song. Like, bro, what's good? Can you send it to me? What's up? You wanna act slow? Anyway, matter of fact, all you MCs that's listening to the podcast, yo, I need to start a record pool. I told Sharif Knockout he need to start a record pool and have me on it, but I need to start a record pool. Because I got the records now. I'm like, yo, run that. The whole email. Yo, shout out to my sister, Al Drill. What's up with me? I can't remember real names now. I only remember people's Facebook names, which used to be legit because people would use their real names, but now that Facebook is kind of lax on the nickname joint. I'm going to call my sister Yvette. I have never called her Yvette, all right? I know it's a middle name. I know that. But I've called it Yvette, but that's what I saw on Facebook, and I was about like, thank you, Yvette. Like, how do I know you as Yvette? She's gonna kill me. Anyway, what we got? Speaking of Sharif, shout out to Sharif and his new motto, which I think everyone, in light of the coronavirus, and I'm not gonna talk about the coronavirus all podcast. I know you guys are sick and tired of hearing about the shit. So, yeah, I'm not going to talk about it. But Sharif, he made an acronym, T-Y-P-A-I-T-H. T-Y-P-A-I-T-H. Take your punk ass in the house. Take your punk ass in the house. And wash your hands while you're at it. We need to extend that. And wash your nasty hands. But shout out to Sharif, man. Yo, I'm going to keep it light. For the beginning, I wasn't gonna get into the heavy stuff, but we'll get into that later. Felicia in the building, she typed it. She could have just said it, but she don't want to be on the podcast. Go ahead, Fee. You gonna give me dead air? You're not gonna say nothing? Thank you. Oh my gosh, yo, straight up, anybody in radio knows. The enemy of radio is dead air. You don't want dead air. Ever. Let me put this mic up so y'all know I'm doing something. You don't want dead air. No. You don't. Buzz Bunny face. No. Don't ever want dead air. Speaking of dead air, man, y'all, all the gangster rappers just wilding on Instagram. That's what we're doing. That's what's happening. First of all, apparently my man Freddie Gibbs, Gangsta Gibbs, Skinny Shook, got his ass banned from Instagram, apparently, supposedly. That was what was reported as of yet. Looks like I checked it before I got on the podcast and started recording the podcast. As of an hour ago, he was still posting. And like 24 hours ago, he was saying 3 a.m. supposed to be the deadline that IG gave him. So I guess we'll see at 3 a.m. Saturday morning. Thought it was supposed to be Friday. But yeah. So apparently, and according to him, somebody was just straight snitching. He was like, he said IG called him up. They was like, hey, yo, we finna cancel your shit. He just like, dang, they call you? Yes, nigga, if you famous. Mr. Should Have Been the Album of the Year 2019. You famous, bro. What you thought? But yeah, he said they banned him. Somebody was snitching. They out here dry snitching. Like, bro, he ain't like he hiding it. It's right there. It's right there. Why y'all snitching on Freddie Gibbs? Shout out to Stess, because Stess put me on. Oddly enough, coronavirus. Shout out to Cardi B. Oh, I forgot I'm on YouTube Live. Everybody can see this right now. This ain't YouTube. It's like three people watching. Hey, the whole world is watching. I forgot what I was talking about. Freddie Gibbs. No, Stess put me on. I don't know if Stess is right. I think Stess just told me about it. Because I don't really even though I do this, I don't really like follow famous people on Instagram or even Twitter for that matter. Okay, Twitter a little bit, but Instagram, most of the people I follow, it's people I know. And but Freddie Gibbs is one of the few famous people, and Buddy B posting some wild shit. They're playing for real. But it's funny. It's goofy. It's goofy funny. It's not like, you know what I'm saying, ridiculous. Not comedic either. It's just funny shit. Just random funny shit. Look at that. My baby being an assistant. What? Fellas, that's why you get back. Oh, shoot. Now, I got the mic wet. Look like I'll piss my pants. Oh, no. Coronavirus. Everybody on the podcast heard that. What's the little lady that be doing stuff on the camera? And you can hear everything. And she be like, yeah, she be eating crabs and you can hear the crunch, like, it's whatever the little fetish is. That's me right now. Pat can hear everything. Pat like, man, what the, why is your mic so sensitive? I don't know, Pat. I don't know why it's so sensitive right now. I've done something.
Bruh.
Yeah, I don't know. Anyway, hold up.
Really, nigga?
Yo, I don't know why it's so sensitive, but it's loud. Anyway, speaking of wilding on IG, just wasn't Freddie Gibbs. Yo, if Freddie Gibbs got banned, this nigga really about to get banned. Like, this nigga really, really about to get banned. Yo, so Boosie Badass. Y'all already know. Just Boosie Badass. So Boosie Badass was on IG, and I guess he started getting, what they call it, cabin fever from the quarantine. Coronavirus. And I need to make that a drop, so I don't have to say it all the time. Somebody send me that soundbite. Anyway, so he quarantined, and I guess he decided it was quarantine and titty day. It's QAT. Like, I think it's a hashtag, like legit hashtag QAT, quarantine and titty day. So this man got on IG Live and offered $25 Cash App. Nigga, this is 2020. This, we are living it, all that jets and stuff. Oh, we're gonna be flying the car. No. Washed up rappers who can't afford a gym membership at Premier. They gotta go to Planet Fitness. Like the rest of us peasants and peons. Decided to offer $25 for just any random lady to pop up and share his IG Live and show the titties.
Really, nigga?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And guess what? They did it. They actually did it. They actually popped up in his IG Live and did it and showed the titties. And thank God for Twitter, because Twitter was like, oh, yeah, we're going to show y'all. Like, wait, what? Man, Boosie on my Twitter right now is trending number one. Currently on Friday, what's this, March 20th? But the funny thing about it was, man was like looking for the titties, right? So I got barbecue sauce on my titties. Like, niggas was popping up on this shit. Hold up.
This a nigga? I know this ain't no nigga. Nigga, I see a mustache. Oh, no. Boy, these niggas.
Boy, I see a mustache. Oh, wow. You can't even make it up. It's... So, yeah. So, if you're watching the live right now, you may want to go to Twitter. And there's some clips where they actually showing the... You can see everything. Like, one chick showed everything for the low, low price of $50. And I think she only got $25. Ladies. Quarantine and chill is not the business, all right? That is not the business. Quarantine and chill is not working right now. I know everybody's saying, oh, you're going to be quarantined, babies. Nah, nigga, not when you got coronavirus. Nah. You don't want that pressure. Don't nobody want that pressure. Anyway, the Instagram, it really is Instagram. I can't even say Twitter. Twitter just reporting it. It's really Instagram. So, I don't know what to tell you. Chad, what up, bro? Coronavirus! She gonna say COVID-19 like everybody else? I'm just saying. She gonna say it like everybody else?
Bruh.
Or at least, hey, I think I told y'all last week, don't do that racist shit, though. Don't know. That Chinese virus shit that Trump doing? Nah, we ain't doing that. Not in 2020. All right, we did that in 1919. Yeah, 1919, we hit people with the Spanish flu, even though the shit started in Kansas. All right, but no, we not doing. And matter of fact, let me break it down for y'all so y'all understand what's going on. I'm going to get my Pat Irvine on, right? What it is a political proxy war. I don't know if I'm using the right term, but it was some dude that be popping off at the mouth worse than Trump over in China, right? He was over there. He was saying, yo, we don't even think this came from Wuhan, China. We think this came from American soldiers that came over back in like October 2019. They dropped the virus off. Then it started spreading. So technically this ain't our fault. We ain't do this. Or we ain't started. So Trump and his administration is basically trying to counter that accusation. Because the dude, I think I talked about this last podcast. Because the dude posted it. He posted it on social media. China, like, don't play that. If you put out any information that don't go along with what they want, they're, like, cutting that shit. That's why you can't post shit on TikTok. Because TikTok is in Hong Kong, Hong Kong part of China, and they don't like your shit, they'll cut it. So, but the thing is, dude was wilding, and people came out and was like, yo, he tripping. Like, the government was like, nah, he tripping. But they ain't taking his stuff down. So it was kind of like a, because his stuff, his video and what he was saying was allowed to linger on social media in China, it was kind of like a wink. Like, yeah, you talking crazy, but yeah, you right. So Trump is basically trying to counter what Chinese is doing and trying to put the blame on America, and it's all kind of bullshit. But it's like, hey, if they gonna play that way, why can't we play that way? Because we're America, supposed to be above that. Point blank, right? You want to get in the pissing war with China? Like, probably why we here now. Probably pissing on each other. America and China, probably both. Let me shoot where it came from. Both of y'all pissing on each other. Coronavirus. Anyway, somebody, speaking of being on fire, shout out to Lil Uzi Vert. Like I told y'all last week, he dropped the 311K. This week, I think he dropped close to 250 back to back. Now, I know, again, it's still fuck Billboard. I don't deal with Billboard, but Uzi doing his thing. So shout out to Uzi Vert. I ain't listen to the album though. I don't know what to tell you. Oh, I don't know. Y'all didn't see that. Y'all didn't see what I saw. Edit point. No, I'm joking. I'm joking. I'm getting to the serious stuff. Yo, so just randomly, I'm watching YouTube because I watch YouTube. Presidential elections in American history. Like, Fee hates that. I watch historic pieces on YouTube.
I don't hate them. I hate the frequency.
She hate them. But she gonna learn today. I bet she know how Teddy Roosevelt got elected. How about that? Catch me outside. How about that? So, anyway, I was watching and I came across the Mike Tyson podcast, the video joint, because he's trying to be like me. They all trying to be like me. I've been podcasting since 2008, and I'm still at it. Screw you guys. Anyway, so it was just like mad funny because I just realized how stiff Eminem is. Like, Eminem is cool as long as you keep, like, the hip-hop. You talk about hip-hop, talk about his daughter. He can, and he got points that he just know how to pop off. Yeah, Mike Tyson screwed all that up. Mike Tyson wasn't having it. Mike Tyson was saying all kind of stuff, and M was just looking like, I didn't train for this, bro. Like, I'm not used to, yeah. It was probably the realest Eminem interview. It wasn't nothing crazy outside of him calling Eminem a nigga. He was like, you a real nigga. Well, it was Mike Tyson, so you a real nigga. You a real nigga. And M was just like, and Mr. Porter was like, what we supposed to do? Mike was just looking like, I'm not playing with you. You a real nigga. But no, the crazy thing was, what made it awkward was, I think in real life, people really can't figure out what Mike Tyson is saying. I know I'm slop mouth, but I'm felt like this. You know what I'm saying? Like, all the time, just, you gotta understand the arts of the arts of war, and you gotta be able to take your people out. You gotta be able to handle that. You know what I mean? And that's how Mike Tyson thought right there, right? But what's crazy is what I noticed, Eminem didn't have headphone sets like I got right now. If you're looking at the live, like, he have headphone sets, so the audience, me, like, I could hear what Mike is saying because his voice is amplified. He fits out like this, but you can kind of make out what he's doing because it sounds like he's in your ear, you know what I mean? But I'm knowing Mike Tyson too well. But I think M and everybody else in the room really couldn't hear Mike Tyson. So he'll go on like these existential rants about life and what life means. And then and him was just looking like, yeah, so Mike, you are a god in my eyes. And he just kept looking like a little fanboy, kept fanning out. Mike was a stan. Yeah, that, not Mike, reverse that. Eminem was a stan. Mike was a stan too. He was like, one of the best rappers we've ever seen, you know. Even though you're white, you're one of the best rappers. That's why I tell people, you're a nigga. I think I'm doing this way too well. I am doing. Fee can't hear it because she doesn't have the headphones on. But when y'all hear this podcast, y'all gonna be like, "Yo, E, you gotta relax, bro. You gotta." But anyway, yo, yeah. I guess if you're interested, you can check out Mike Tyson's Hot Boxing. It's wild. Anyway, I'm gonna get into the serious stuff, man. Before I get into the serious stuff, Fee, one more time. Coronavirus. I ain't even watched that crap. I saw a clip using the Cardi B joint, and that's all I wasn't watching. The COVID. Hey, Uncle, see you like Shaq. Look, we got to be resilient. We just can't let the COVID-19 hold us back. We can do this. Kobe would have wanted it. R.I.P. Kobe, let's do it. We can get past this. I'm doing imitations now. Great. This is great podcast and content. No, for real though, man. Coronavirus, COVID-19, whatever you want to call it, is definitely hitting people hard, man. So let me get serious though, because you know it hit somewhat close to home. I mean, I'm good. The only thing hit my pockets is this wedding. Like, wait for you to. So she's trying to be you. Me and Fee, decided to get married. That's what's crazy. Decided to get married. The whole coronavirus breakout. Guess it's going to be six. It's going to be six people though. I ain't even tell y'all how many people we had set up because y'all going to be counting our pockets. But way it's set up now, it's going to be six of y'all. And we already got, what, five sisters and brothers? No, it's six of them anyway. So, well, parents are the guys. We got seven parents. All y'all gone. Bye. The only sisters and brothers. Yeah, man. But seriously, though, you know, it's hitting hard. I know everybody waiting for them Trump checks to come through. That's what they're going to call them, Trump checks. You already know. That's what's gonna happen, but for real, man. In particular, and I wanted to bring this up because the first thing, the main thing, is getting where you're seeing a lot of stoppage at is entertainment, from the high level entertainment with the NBA, then all kinds of sports, NBA, NFL. Well, NFL kind of straight right now, but I think baseball they stopped, soccer. Even looking at end of the Olympics, so you got high end entertainment, but also, to the low-end entertainment, the governor of Florida just shut down, like, all restaurants. No one can occupy. You can go through the drive-thru, but you can't come in and dine in and bars. And so that means that your local, you know, rapper or regional rapper who go to these bars or whatever and perform, they can't now. And some of them, some that I know, including my man Big Lo, and Marcel P. Black out of Louisiana, you know what I'm saying, Big Lo out of Pensacola. Like, I don't know them dudes' pockets like that, but I know, like, they put a lot of money into it, you know what I'm saying, to get money back. You know what I'm saying? It's really hurting. Big Lo is definitely posting a lot on Facebook. So, and then also, too, I mean, you listen to Last Joe Button podcast, you know what I'm saying? They brought it up. Like, I guess Wale said he was out 200K. So even, you know, different levels. High level as far as major sports, mid-level with, you know what I'm saying, you know, pretty much famous DJs or whatnot. And also, too, I won't say low level, but lower tiered, you know, just your homegrown rapper, you know what I'm saying? Big Lo and Marcel P. Black, you know what I'm saying, hurting. Now, the good thing is today, Friday, so listen to the live. I think Bandcamp decided to take their cut away. So right now, if you go and purchase music from your the artists that got music on that site, you can they get 100% of that. Matter of fact, speaking of Marcel P. Black, RIP, man. He just lost his dad this week, too. So I can only imagine, you know what I'm saying, with the coronavirus thing popping, you know what I'm saying, the lack of the touring. And then also, too, you know, his dad passing, man. I can't imagine, bro. You know what I'm saying? I don't want to imagine. You know what I mean? But our hearts goes out to you, bro. You know what I'm saying? Hold your head. Same thing with Big Lo, man. You know what I mean? Hold your head, bro. I'm going to try to give y'all this information. If you can't get it on the live, listen to the podcast, man. Still go and holler at them. You know what I'm saying? Still go and holler at them. And anybody else you know, anybody else that got merch, they got stuff on they got stuff on Bandcamp, man. Y'all make sure to do that. My man, Eternity. I played his music a couple weeks ago. You know what I'm saying? He got stuff on Bandcamp. I got stuff on Bandcamp, but I ain't even tripping. Like, I dropped something 8 years ago. Like, I ain't even tripping. Don't worry about me. If you want to go get something, cool, but I'd rather y'all go to the people that's really doing it, like Big Low and Marcel P. Black. You can get Big Low at biglowhiphop.bandcamp.com. All right? Go to Bandcamp, man. You can holler at him. You know what I mean? Get his merch or whatever. I mean, we get his albums. Pretty sure they got it you can get his entire catalog for $15.50. You know what I mean? They ain't really that much. You know what I'm saying? Drop that. You know what I'm saying? Anything will help. Also, I think biglowhiphop.com/merch. You know what I'm saying? Get his merch. I should have been rocking this t-shirt, but I forgot. Let me see if I can get Marcel joint. Just anybody, man. Also, too, I just saw pop up. Shout out to Dicaria and Aston Martin. You know what I mean? He just dropped a video. Y'all make sure to check that out on YouTube. Just look up Aston Martin. Let me see. Hell, I can't. Oh, shoot. I got to go anyway. Let me see. Man, okay. Marcel, MarcelPBlack. Marcel P. Black. .bandcamp.com. Go holler at them boys, man. Also too with Aston Martin. Go holler at any rapper. You see on my Nick Myself Hour, they billing Nick Myself Hour, if they on my page, whatever. Yo, go holler at people, because a lot of these people, that's their livelihood. You know what I mean? Like, that's how they make it, and they can't go out and tour and sell their merch on tour. So we gotta do it digitally. You know what I'm saying? It may take some time. You know what I'm saying? I ordered a t-shirt from my man Dakota. You know what I mean? He can't give it to me. Because what? Coronavirus. You know what I'm saying? I ain't tripping. I mean, I want it. He's going to pay for it. But I know what the situation is. If that's what he need, if that's going to help feed his, you know what I'm saying, his son and his family, I'm cool. You know what I'm saying? I just have to wait on it. So, yeah, man. Y'all make sure to do that. I just want to say that before I get out of here. I think it's important. Yeah, I think that's it. So, that's all I got for right now. Like I told y'all before, on the live, I'm going to switch over. So, podcast, I got to figure out what I'm playing for y'all. Then when I come back, we're going to interview my mans, Lock Messiah. He's going to be in the building. That's the artist of the week. So we got, matter of fact, speaking of Marcel P. Black, I got Someday by Marcel P. Black featuring Sky Zoo on the Enigma Sep Hour. You got time, baby.
Yo, what's up? This is Royce Lovett, and you are now listening to the Enigma Sep Hour. You got time, baby.
I'm just trying to get about the struggle someday. I'm not sure where they hustle Sunday to Sunday. Too many killers, Lord, I'm sick of all this gunplay. I just want to see my daughter and my son safe. From Boru to BK, they go the dumb way. I pray these lyrics make a difference in them some way. I'm just trying to write forever all in one take. I'm just trying to write forever all in one take. More than just music or movements, I write for revolution. Not for the foolish or stupid, I'm here to clear confusion. I'm writing rubrics for shooters to aim at institutions. Politicking with gang members, singing hallelujah. Cause every single day I pray my actions ain't in vain. That I ain't waste my time with change that never ever came. But I stay with it, committed to go and get it. Spit secular street scriptures for my niggas. I pledge allegiance to the black where young is banging, get that crop. My mission to change conditions is scribbled in every sentence. Get all this dope about the hood, stop all the murder by the cops. My vengeance to get street niggas organized against the system. Much more than popping jiggers and blowing with swishers. Trump got them not just tripping, man. These crackers trying to kill us someday. I just want to see my people free. And I'ma keep on fighting like my ancestors did for me. I'm just trying to get about the struggle someday. I'm not sure where they hustle Sunday to Sunday. Too many killers, Lord, I'm sick of all this gunplay. I just want to see my daughter and my son safe. From Boru to BK, they go the dumb way. I pray these lyrics make a difference in them some way. I'm just trying to write forever all in one take. I'm just trying to write forever all in one take. Why you rappers lying by trapping? I write for folk held captive in prison systems and environments where our people trapped in. It ain't nobody coming to say what we gotta do for us. Can't put no trust in them government, they don't give a fuck. Believe in peace, but that don't mean I'm non-violent. Want my paradise on earth, I ain't waiting
until I'm dying. With the white mist pie in the sky, and so I'm preaching self-reliance. Pull our resources together to make our situation better. And though I may not get that which I hope my cheering do, cause I may never see real freedom. We got work to do when it's all said and done. Be remembered as a one who always stood tall, both in action and in song. A man with good intentions, who talked and instant lifting, who never sold a soul or relied on a gimmick. Someday I just want everything better, and I pray my music resonates from now until forever. Like, I'm just trying to get about the struggle someday. Imagine where they hustle Sunday to Sunday. Too many killers, Lord, I'm sick of all this gunplay. I just want to see my daughter and my son safe. From Boru to BK, they go the dumb way. I pray these lyrics make a difference in them some way. I'm just trying to write forever all in one take. I'm just trying to write forever all in one take.
Man, it would sure be nice to know that whenever you fought to suffice, none of that fighting was ever in vain. Due to the vein of what all that you write, knew that the game was more than the lights. Losing your name is part of the plight. You could remain and call it a life, or you could refrain from falling for hype. I've been away from the part of the life where I'm not ever gonna have to regret. Looked in the mirror, saw what I like, not a facade attached to the rep. Be who I was who I am, became a legend who rapped for the steps. Long as I'm steadily one with the stoop, then I never have to go back to the steps. Win or lose, I've been in shoes who you listen to, wanna fit into, or at least try to go get into. I'm Sky Davis on the dribble through, and Roger Klotz can't get into him. I'm cooling, me oh my, ghostwriting for who you listen to. It's me giving shows through BMI. Soul music, I'll be inside, be inside for heaven and a day. Meaning that even whenever you're gone, I'll be the song you bury, you play. I'll be the songs that step in the way of all that you thought they left you to make. I've been involved with how you evolve, and that be the story my legacy made. Fuck with me.
I'm just trying to get about the struggle someday. Imagine where they hustle Sunday to Sunday. Too many killers, Lord, I'm sick of all this gunplay. I just want to see my daughter and my son safe. From Boru to BK, they go the dumb way. I pray these lyrics make a difference in them some way. I'm just trying to write forever all in one take. I'm just trying to write forever all in one take.
Boom, boom, boom. We back. It's your boy Enigma September. This is the Enigma Sep Hour. What you just heard was Someday by my man Marcel P. Black featuring Sky Zoo. Again, like I told y'all, man, y'all make sure to support all local artists, man. Check out their Bandcamp. Download. A lot of them have their digital content ready to go. You download the whole thing for the cheap. So y'all make sure y'all do that. But without further ado, introduce the guest of the hour. I got my man Locke Messiah in the building. What's good, bro?
Everything is good. Aside from this coronavirus, I'm doing well. How you doing?
Coronavirus.
Yeah, man. I'm quarantined in the house, man. I was just waiting on this to start, man, so I can put myself to use.
All right. No doubt. You ain't doing the little Boosie. Man, got quarantine titties day.
Oh, no. I will say I need to get like Boosie because I'm not quarantine titties, you feel me? But no, that is not currently. I'm not fortunate enough to have that going on any of my social media right now.
Yo, man, it's wildin', bro. I went to go check Twitter real quick and came across that. I was like, yo, are you serious?
It's honestly wild to me, man, how, like, because of social media and so on and so forth, like, Boosie, I feel like Boosie's image has completely changed. Like, I remember being in, like, middle school listening to, like, Boosie and Webby, and it was just like, all right, these straight gangsters, so on and so forth. So it's, but now, you feel me, like, to see him be all that he is on some stuff, you feel me, like, it's like, oh, damn, you got a whole other side of you that we ain't know nothing about. Like, it's cool in some ways, bad in some others, definitely.
Right. I think also, too, is that's just, you know, social media, like when he first popped off, you had the internet, but you didn't quite have, you know, social media or whatever. Where, and, you know, just the availability to it, you know what I mean? So most artists could kind of steer away from it, but now that it's in your phone, you know, you can just do whatever. So I think that's what we see. But regardless, enough about Boosie. Right. But, bro, so I just genuinely curious, bro. Like, where in the world where in the hell did Lock Messiah come from? Like, how did you come up with that?
What's the short answer? I think the short answer is it was never supposed to be like a name or anything like that. You feel me? Like, it was really just supposed to be like an Instagram name, based on like stuff that I was like learning at the time in school. You feel me? Like, shout out to FAMU, shout out to my fellow Rattlers, shout out to the psychology program, and so on and so forth. But at the time, I was just like learning a lot about like different religions and so on and so forth. So I made it my Instagram name. I just so happened to have like a show down south in Miami. And when they like called me on stage, they were like, "Nah, featuring Lock Messiah." And I was just like, "Oh, okay." Like, I remember getting on stage and being like, "Well, all right, my name is Michael Curry for real, but you know, Lock Messiah is cool too on some stuff," because it was never meant to be that. It just became that kind of.
Well, according to some people that I won't name, that's how your name was come about anyway. It's not playing. So, nah, that's dope, bro.
Yeah, man. I'll say that to like say it further. I think, and I don't know if this was like, you know, me speaking things into existence or whatever the case may be, but it just so happened that like as I started like to delve more into like my artistry and just like become more of myself on some stuff, you feel me, it did start to like fit. So I grew into it. I said like that. It was like some big shoes and I grew into them.
Well, nah, that's dope. I mean, the obvious is that you got the locks or whatever, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And then, yeah, hold yourself to a standard, you know what I mean? Hopefully you ain't trying to say these hoes. You're just trying to...
And the hoes need saved. They ain't got to necessarily be saved by me, but somebody got to save the hoes, goddamn.
Hey. Save them from the quarantine and titty life.
Yeah, see, that's what Boosie doing. Boosie saving hoes right now. I think he's sending people money, so, you know.
Yo, 25 a pop, bro.
He's doing his part.
That's crazy. That's better than Joe Budden sending out 2,500.
2,500 for what?
Yeah, man, say so he put 2,500 down, bro.
I ain't gonna lie.
For the night.
I ain't never seen or had nothing that I'm gonna pay 2,500 except for that for my woman in the room or some stuff. Nah, man, 2,500. You know what I can do with 2,500?
Bruh. I ain't never that wealthy. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Let me not say that. maybe if I get some meals, man, I consider it like charity or something like that.
Nope, I'm too stingy. I tell you a story. You go. You'll move on. Story about I got a stripper for one of my cousin's birthdays.
Mm-hmm.
And my fiance sitting here, so she's gonna be like mad as hell at me for even telling the story. So. I got my cousin a stripper for his birthday or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So Shelby came through, you know what I'm saying? I paid like the main fee, you know what I'm saying, for her to, mm-hmm. to get there and do whatever. So, you know what I'm saying? So, you know what I'm saying? My cousin's like, and I had cousins and homeboys. I'm like, yo, I got a tip. So y'all make sure to do whatever. So they went, got the money, came back or whatever. So there's another part of the story I ain't going to tell because it's too much. But so she's there. And she doing a thing, and I'm like looking like, yo, like shorty in my house, bucket naked, and I can't touch or do anything past that. And I was like, and I'm paying her money. I'm paying her to come around my house butt naked, and I can't do nothing.
Yep.
Like, yeah. You know what? I was like, nah, I'm good. I'm straight on that.
I'm with you on that, but yeah, I'm 100% with you on that, but y'all ain't about to be getting feeling the vibe off my tab, goddamn, no store.
Right, our money, you just running around. I can't do nothing. I can get that for free. So yeah, I was done after that. So just to disappoint any and everybody out there, my fiance think I'm lying, but yeah, ain't gonna be no strippers at my bachelor party. I'm good, man. Like, for what? Why?
Good hosting stuff. Let them know we're gonna bring our Bibles. We're gonna have a little
service. Right. Bring the hot towels. I mean the wash towels. You know.
That's all.
All of that. It's gonna be on some chill. I ain't even tripping. Anyway, enough about me. So you're a poet. You know what I'm saying? We actually performed together. It was about a year ago now.
Uh huh.
At the little almost not a year, because me and Fee ain't even at a year yet. So probably like 10 months ago.
Yeah. Cause my girlfriend probably like. In like June or something like May, June or something like that. So, and she was there, I think.
Yeah. So, shout out to the Dream Defenders or whatever. And you killed it, bro. Like, I knew you were going to kill it.
Yeah.
But, like, you killed it. So, what got you into A, poetry, and then B, what got you into, like, more like the spoken word, like, performance of the poetry?
So, short answer, women.
Hey.
As always, they always the catalyst for, like, great shit, you feel me? So shout out to women all over the
world.
I actually was, like, new to FAMU, man. I transferred to FAMU from FIU or whatever, and I played ball. When I got to FAMU, things happened in a way where I couldn't play ball, you feel me? So, like, I really just had, like, a whole bunch of free time. I just so happened to meet this young woman in one of my classes. Her name is Tyra, who's like, she's going on to do like great things and so on and so forth. But she invited me to come to like a Voices open mic, right? So I'm like, all right, cool. You feel me? Like, I ain't gonna lie, at the time I was kind of like feeling her. So I'm like, all right, yeah, this is a smooth little thing. You feel me? It wasn't no date, but I'm like, all right, yeah, this straight. We get to the little spot, you feel me? People start, like, spitting and so on and so forth. And, like, in the beginning, I'm like, okay, this cool or whatever. This dude come up, man, and I ain't going to say his name, but he a member of Cap 6, right?
Okay.
He starts spitting, and she say, oh, that's my favorite poet, you feel me? So, of course, me being a dude, you feel me, like, who's interested in this woman, as well as a former athlete, I'm looking like, Nah, I can do that. You feel me? Like, challenge accepted on this shit. So I think, like, from there, I think I went to go, like, try to, like, write some shit. You feel me? I don't think it was really, like, a poem. Just, like, kind of getting my thoughts down. I probably go to another little event with, like, Voices. And then they have, like, some sort of, like, induction type thing or whatever. You can become a member. So once I had, like, I started that. I ain't end up joining Voices because they had stuff going on some stuff, but it had got me in the mode of, like, writing poetry and so on and so forth. And once I started, like, once I really started writing poetry, it was, like, it was it. So I started writing poetry, like, maybe, like, late 2014 for real, or, like, sometime in, like, 2014 for real. I think by, like, April 2015 or something like that, I had already, like, put out a book of poetry on some shit. And this is, like, really before I'm confident as like a poet. I just so happened to be around people who like put out books, so I thought that's what you did. You feel me? Like, you wrote a whole bunch of poems. You feel me? Like, once you got to a point where you was content, you feel me? Like, you put them in a book. So that I was writing like crazy. I'm writing like 5-10 poems a day on some shit. So by the time I get to April, it's like, oh, all right, here, Euphoria Chaos, my first book on some stuff. So that's how it all started. I don't think I really consider myself a spoken word artist until the first time I performed out of Tallahassee. And it was the event in Miami or whatever the case may be. But it was the first time I, like, spit in front of, like, a large kind of audience on some shit, you feel me? And, like, everybody was, like, receptive to me. So, like, that moment where I was like, okay, I'm a spoken word artist. I can do this, I think. It was, like, that was that moment, that, like, eureka moment.
Right. Yo, that's wild, bro. Like, typically I was expecting, like, to be like, yeah, so when I was, like, 5 years old, so you was pretty much like an adult, a young adult, you know what I'm saying, and then just jumped on it and just went from there. That's crazy.
But I don't want to make it seem like that was like my first time, you feel me, like ever being involved with like words or anything like that. Like I had always been like an amazing writer on some shit. I used to get like awards in school. And when I was in high school, dog, I was in a little rap group, man, called Doughboys. I never forget it, man. But that was probably like my first time like writing like raps on some stuff, you feel me? Like when I was a shorty, like in middle school, niggas used to freestyle on the corner, you feel me? But as an adult is when I'm like, okay, I don't think I ever really consider myself a rapper, even when I did it in like high school or anything like that. So like college or as an adult was like the first time I'm really like, all right, I'm an artist, two, I'm a poet, you feel me, like slash writer or whatever the case may be.
Okay, yeah, I got you. Like, cause I mean, I started writing third grade. I remember a story. I got like an award for it. But even at the time, yeah, I wasn't even thinking like I'm gonna be a writer, or yeah, you know what I'm saying? Not even, it wasn't even in my mind to be like, yo, I'm gonna get a journalism degree. It wasn't, matter of fact, it wasn't until after I got the degree that I was like, oh, I did. I was writing in third grade. I guess that makes sense now.
Yeah, honestly, the same. You feel me? Like now, because at the time, you feel, I'm just writing. You feel me? Like, and I'm writing because they tell me I have to write on some shit. Is the reality of it. So I never had those dreams. You feel me? Like, I think the other reality, I never thought of myself as a writer. Like literally until I got to around like 20. I'm 20. I think I was like 21, 22. Whenever that was, or whatever the case may be. But I had never. Nothing on some stuff, but now that I'm at this place, I can be like, dang, well, I was a fire ass writer winning awards back in the day. This shit makes perfect sense. You feel me? Like now, these
right
days, I can say.
No, I feel you. Not with the, you said you was in the rap group. Like what came of that? Like what happened? Because I mean, so everybody want to be with the raps. You know what I'm saying? Like what started it and what ended it?
You know, I'm gonna tell you what started it, right? Like I said, you feel me? Like when I was in like middle school and so on and so forth, we used to like freestyle on the corner. I had a homie, or I call him like my brother named Charles, and like a few other homies. So by the time I got to high school, all right, me and my brother Charles, you feel me? Like this is already something that we do or whatever, or like as far as like just rapping in general, not even trying to like record nothing. But around that time, right, this is when Soulja Boy came out, right?
Hey, yo.
And I'm thinking, it's wild, right? But at the time, all of us was, like, athletes on some shit, you feel me? So I think when Soulja Boy came out, niggas was like, oh, this all it take to be a rapper? Like, on some, and not even,
right.
No disrespect to him at all or anything like that, you feel me? But like,
no, all the disrespect. No, you're right.
Hey man, I hit it down nobody else's artistry, but it really was one of those moments where it's like, oh, this all it takes, you feel me? Like, mind you, before then, you feel me, like niggas listening to like Wayne and like T.I. and all these different people who like really spit to some degree on some stuff. You feel me? So I think in listening to Wayne, it's kinda like a certain, he was at a level at that time, especially, where niggas was like, okay, this is unattainable on some shit. You feel me? So, like, niggas can't do this.
Right.
Niggas can't aspire to do that on some shit. You feel me? But when Soulja Boy came out, niggas was like, oh, shit, niggas ain't got to be up there to, like, put out shit. You feel me? So,
right.
I don't even remember what Soulja Boy's first little song was, but I know the song that we made was, like, it was called Get Out My Face, Hope. I remember. And it sounded like... It had the like the kind of feel of like Soulja Boy, like crank that
right.
I forgot how that shit go, you feel me? But it had that kind of sort of feel. Now, mind you, I feel like all of us rap better than Soulja Boy at the time, you feel me? So the bars might have been better, but it still had that same kind of feel on some shit. I think that was, so I think we recorded that song. We recorded this like freestyle, and then I wanna say We all got kicked out of school, man. So like my freshman year, we all got kicked out of school. So that kind of like broke things up. Everybody like went to like different schools and so on and so forth. So after like ninth grade, I think my next time rapping might not have been until like my like junior year or something like that. And it was only because we had a homeboy, passed, like, tragically on some stuff, you feel me, who just happened to go to the same school that I went to, and we ended up making a song. So, like, after ninth grade, the next verse that I did was for, like, my homie after he, like, passed away on some stuff. My homie Big D, R.I.P. to him. Shout out to his family and all of them. But, yeah, that was, like, the next time. And after that, I don't think I didn't rap or anything like that until I got to VMU. I think a lot of that was just because at the same time, like, while all this is happening, I'm getting better at, like, football, and football is becoming, like, my main focus. So it was less about, like, let's try to rap, and more my free time went to, like, all right, I'm training, you feel me? Like, I'm running routes. I'm doing whatever I need to do in that regard to get to that, to the next level. So I kind of think, like, rap and, like, art in general, man, just kind of, like, fell to the wayside for the sake of sports.
Anything, you play free safety?
Nah, man, I played receiver. I played wide receiver when I was in high school, and I played slot receiver when I finally got to college.
Okay. Yeah. You can tell by somebody built, like, yeah, that nigga played. Yeah. That nigga was in the secondary.
I had a little weight on me, too, man. I weighed, my playing weight back then was, like, 190. People be like, what? Because I weigh, like, 167 now on some stuff. Like, you weigh that much. But, yeah, if you go look on FIU website, you'll see they had me at, like, 195, maybe. Because I was bigger. I was a lot bigger, man. I was eating meat back then, too, of course, so it was a little different.
Right. Nah, I just always, like, just because of your personality, the reason I say a free safety, I'm like, you like somebody that'll bust somebody up. Like, like, I knew you had, like, a receiver built. I'm like, nah, you like somebody, yeah. You want to come down and lay some wood on somebody.
I'm trying to throw points, man. You know, everything about points on the board for me.
I know, but defense win championships, player. You know what it is.
Yeah, ain't nobody winning no game with
0-0
on the scoreboard.
I can't say nothing. I wanted to play running back, so I can't even. I wanted to play running back. I ended up being a pulling guard, looking crazy.
But honestly, if I could play any other position, I'd probably play line, probably defensive line, or like guard. But only I want to be the pulling guard. I want to come around the corner and smack folks, man.
Yeah, I wish I would have saw that back then, long, long time ago, but I got my feelings, and I was like, nah. But, I mean, I was like, bro, I'm 5'9". What I look like playing on an O-line at 5'9"? Yeah. Dealing with cats is like 6'3", 6'2". What am I going to do, like hit him in the waist? But it was what it was. How was it? How long did you play at FIU?
From 2010 to I left like in 2013, May. I was up here, I believe, by May 2013. So whenever okay. That spring semester, up this way, moved straight up here.
Now, how was it playing? I mean, D1, I'm pretty sure you probably the first D1 person, maybe, probably the first D1 person I had on the podcast. So it's not a sports podcast, but screw it. Joe will be all right.
Shout out to me then. And shout out to FIU, man. FIU, I lived a good life at FIU, man. But I needed to come to FAMU to really learn myself and, like, grow into myself, man. Both were needed just at different times.
Right. But nah, that's dope. Well, let me go and get into it, bro. You know what I'm saying? Because we already almost there. We're going to go ahead and get people a little piece of what you got. You know what I mean? Actually, I know I said that I probably was going to give a pause for the calls. Mm-hmm. You spoke earlier. But probably just go ahead, and I'm going to go ahead and play it. So we'll be able to listen into it. And then we're going to come back and let people know, you know what I'm saying, what you got planned for the future. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Ooh. So let me tell y'all what we got first, and then we're going to get into it. Oh, let me see. I'm dealing with this new. Ain't even not yet. All right, so we got to a better me, and then we got another bottle by my man Lock Messiah, and then we're gonna come right back. So this is the Enigma Sub Hour. You got time, baby?
And the question becomes: who will survive in America? I often ponder why my life didn't come equipped. Why it didn't come equipped with the manual or how-to guide. With all the twists and turns, who decided you live and you learn was the right way to avoid being spurned by life's wrath. I do my best not to feel slighted. But it's hard when you've been conditioned to sleep with one eye open. Well, the world's against you, you can't lose focus. So I've been told. And never once did anyone mention how focus could be a double-edged sword, both allowing you to work optimally on the options you were given, but never quite giving room to see the whole picture. And they wonder why I'm so selfish. I've been taught my life is best depicted as a selfie, and that I can't help nobody unless I help me. I apologize to the woman that tried to help me. I never understood the concept of helping. These hands were made for building and buying things, not for healing and nurturing, or so I thought. I'm realizing now that the road to becoming a man is filled with many more obstacles than I had previously imagined. And I wonder if I have what it takes to make it through. To make it through. WD-40 sips to negate my tolerance, emotions run wide. Deep addiction in my blood, I'm wired differently. A wretched deviant, a wild and dangerous. A wilted daisy spawned from the seed of worrisome DNA while I wallow in the devil's spirits. I'm willing to delve into broken cups, cuts on my lips for the one I sip from is the pillow moms use to put pops to sleep. Too rambunctious. In those dreams, I will set the stage for my narcolepsy. I wait to drink tears, a chase with blue label. So what if this elixir is the reason behind my shivers? I sing blues. Anxious, anxious, shake, shake, shakes got me playing anxious thoughts sporadically. A tapping on the same off key, keys in a demon's laugh as I fine tune the frayed strings of my memories. And so I think, there's no one here but I. In the hearsay I create, the rumor mill ain't really a rumor mill, just interpersonal convos I have once I mix gin with juice found on fruit from the grapevine. And Anna say it'd be best if I hit Jesus on the main line, but she must not know he'd rather create his own than go without cups himself. So still I delve, and to reduce my anger and make pain subside. But I, and like my father, only get closer to the fire as my sobriety sails farther and farther away. I'm floating on flammable seas of emotion. See, I still remember torn card repackaged on garbage bags on the backs of Father's Day. I said for the son of an artist great as he, and mediocrity wasn't something he could allow. I paint his scars on rice paper, thin sheets of my self-esteem. Brush marks scream, I'm more of a man, I'm more of an artist than you ever were. Partly because I can't escape this curse of yours. I wish I would have inherited asthma from you. And instead of these perceived strands of inadequacy, entitlement. If only I could trade these liquor-infused epigenetics for an EpiPen. It feels like I inherited bouts of epilepsy. I still can't stand the flashing of women exposing their hearts. I pass out and awaken in my own bed when it overwhelms my senses. It's been too long since I accepted a woman's love that wasn't my mother's. They ask why I won't let them touch me. Why I flinch anytime they get near. I can't give them an answer, because I don't know if it's because I'm so used to being abused by those that say they love me, or because I know they love me and I'm afraid I won't be able to reciprocate the feeling. My ex says I need healing, but doesn't understand that in this bottle lies my medicine, that I still see cures along this pool floor. And the reason I delve until I can't no more, pour up a 4-inch high glasses clink. A toast between my higher and worse self, and they don't always agree, but understand each other's thinking. Got me drinking in front of women with 6-inch high heels, and them, they see all the things I don't need, but in me, they see a king, or at least acknowledge my paper crown. When I use crown to cover my rocky ways, stone rolling along, drifting down Mount Everest, 1 sip, a 2 sip, 3 sip, bottles going, 2 bottles going, no time for rest, just want to know where the rest are. I drink because it hurts me to know that I'm just like my father. And the irony is, me drinking is what makes me just like my father. It's a cycle, a cyclone, a tornado. And I'm the cow they always show in movies. They'll never show where it lands. I've landed in a bed of my own misery. Too close to my father's jail cell. Too far from my mother's grave not to visit. Though I never do, I'd rather drink and blame it on this curse I was gifted. While pitying my father, because he'll never forgive himself for his mistakes. And unlike me, doesn't have this bottle to wash the pain away.
Well, we're back, and ladies, if you want to remove your panties, you can. It'll be fine. I'm pretty sure Lot Messiah would not judge you at this moment. I thought I lost you, bro. I thought I lost you for a minute. Like, hey, yo.
No. I'll be letting you do your thing. That's all.
No doubt. Yo, that was dope, bro. That was all the way dope. Is it easier to record it than perform it, or vice versa?
It is most certainly easier to. At this point, it's easier to perform it. So first of all, right, for the first one, I want to give a shout out to Tim's Guitar Goodness, man. That's the person who was strumming all on the guitar for me. And a shout out to Kenny. That poem was for a tape or whatever that Kenny was like putting together at the time. So that's the reason why I ended up writing and recording that. Excuse me. But yeah, it's to me at this point, right? It's definitely easier to perform. And I think more so just because I don't know about, like, I don't want to speak for all artists, but myself as an artist, I feel like I'm fairly meticulous, right? Once I get into like the booth or whatever the case may be, I record it a million times, because like now I have the time and the space to like get this exactly how I want it to be to some degree, right? Whereas on stage, all right, it's once it's time to perform, you either know it or you don't know. With poetry specifically, right? It's one of those things where you either know it or you don't know it. I've had the opportunity to like perform with like a track and to perform like rap and so on and so forth. And like one of the major differences for me is if I'm like rapping with this like track or whatever, if I mess up, I can just like stop and like kind of like let that part of like the beat play and then just like pick up where I left off without it being like a big thing, right? Like sometimes most people won't notice or whatever. But when I do like poetry, if I like mess up, like you hear it more often than not. And that now I've gotten to the point where I can like kind of like glide into like something after I've messed up. So it's sometimes it's hard to notice, but it's a big thing, right? Like as soon as, for the most part, if you mess up, like most people like catch you on some stuff. So I'd say being in an environment where like you're kind of like forced to just push through whatever fuck up you have, I think it's easier for me at this point based on the fact that I've performed a whole lot of times. So like it's rare that I fuck up when I'm on stage.
Right. Now also too, like, you know, like you said, you can kind of smooth out of it. You can kind of flip it. You know what I mean? It's not like, especially if it's, you know, especially if I'm thinking if it's a new piece that people don't know, you probably could even kind of, you know what I'm saying, improvise on the spot.
Really?
They'll come back next week.
every time I perform like a poem for the first time, that happens. Like, it's a part where like, all right, oh, fuck this up. But like nobody has ever heard the poem. So nobody ever says anything. But I also think that like poetry in itself is really forgiving, right? So I can perform a piece 1 week, right, and have this person here, and then the next week I can come back and I can have like edits, so I can say it differently or whatever the case may be, and like people would just kind of like go with the flow of it just based on it like being poetry. Like nobody will say it's a remix or anything like that, because in my personal opinion, none of my poems are complete, which is really me saying that like all of my poems can like improve or whatever. So there are times where, especially if I'm like preparing for a show, where I like go through like my old poems or whatever the case may be, and I might like change some like bars, or I might change the like flow or something like that, just based on where I am currently, or that like the space that I'm in currently, or whatever the case may be. And it's never nothing. Like I go to it and perform it just like I performed it the last time.
Right. That's music. That's music shit. You know what I mean? Like you know what I'm saying? You play an instrument, you're not going to play it like the same time all the time. You know what I mean? Because you may flip it. Like you said, it may be a move. You know what I mean?
Yep.
So, no, that's dope, bro. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
And I can appreciate that. You know what I'm saying? Appreciate the idea of, you know, I was thinking it's a living document.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because you can,
amazing way to say,
yeah, you can switch it up. It's not just this and that's it and the static. So, yeah, that's
and you know
dope.
What?
I watched
this
go ahead.
This video with like Beyonce in it, right? And there are people who watch Beyonce enough to like know the variations of her singing a song. So this like video that I watched might have been like 12 clips, right, of her performing a song, like almost all the different ways that she performs it on some stuff. You feel me? Because at this point, like when she's performing like some of her older songs, right? Like songs that she wrote
right.
10 years ago on some stuff. You feel me? So even she, you feel me? Like as this, like, you know, super megastar artist has the leeway, especially like I said, when it comes to performing, man, like when it comes to performing, I think it's just easier to like just live, to really like use your voice as an instrument. I think that's the best way to describe it. Like when you perform, your voice becomes an instrument, and in it being an instrument, just like you said, you feel me? Like, Your mood controls how it goes. Sometimes it's not even like purposeful, right? Like sometimes I get on stage and like my mood is like mellow and I don't feel like dressing it up to be whatever the poem is supposed to be. So when I perform this poem is like mellow. And it might be something that's like I got a lot of like pro-black pieces. So it might be something that is said with like it's supposed to be said, or maybe was said originally with like a whole lot of gusto and like energy and like just like passion, but in that moment, right, it's said differently, with a different sort of passion, and it kind of like, it doesn't necessarily change the message, but it changes the feeling that's invoked in the crowd.
Right. Now, I think speaking of Beyonce, I think I read a piece. No, it wasn't even a piece. It was Lauryn Hill. I think it was like a year and a half ago or 2 years ago. Mm-hmm. Your boy Robert, was it Casper? I can't even think of his name. Anyway, he called out about some shit. And about, like, because I guess he always, like, firing musicians. And I guess he was, like, one of them at one point. Uh-huh. He was like, I ain't get fired. I quit. You know, whatever, whatever. And people were talking about how she go through musicians, but she was saying, like, you know, I had this album 20 years old. Like, I can't perform it the same way every time because people will start coming to the shows. So she get new musicians to flip the way the songs are performed so people get a new experience.
Right.
So it's kind of just go back to, like you said, like Beyonce, where it's like she probably flip it. What you said about Beyonce and what you actually do. You know what I'm saying? Like, you flip it according to either the mood of the audience or just what you want to present. You know what I mean? And what the feelings you want them to come from because of how you feel. So, yeah. Again, that's music shit. You killing it.
But I think it's something that we all do, man. I think we all find our space. And when I say we all, I'm talking about, like, poets and, like, rappers and singers and so on and so forth. I feel like we all find our space in, like, different ways. For me, it's easier as an artist, of course, to just, like, alter my voice and so on and so forth, because more often than not, when I'm on stage, like, that's all I have is my voice.
Right.
But other people, like, get up there and they alter their body language. They alter how much they move around stage. So I just think it's, you know, everybody, like, has different things that are, like, core for them in their performances. And I feel like it's music shit and all that, I guess.
Yeah, that's all it is, bro. You know what I'm saying? It kind of go back, like you said, with the Black Power thing was just, I think I mentioned this at the live podcast, you know what I'm saying, that we did a couple weeks ago, where the thing about Black music is rhythm and words. You know what I'm saying? Like, mm-hmm. That's what our ancestors did, you know, going to tribe, going to place. Not saying we was all in tribes and all that other crap, but, you know what I'm saying, he went to different locales and the way they spread the history is through through tradition, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so, you know, you had to, I'm pretty sure there was different variations and things were added to, you know, interest people that know, like, yo, this is what happened, you know what I mean? So, the quote Nas, you carry on tradition, essentially, because that's how I look at, like, Black music, you know what I'm saying? Like, yo, the basis of it is coming with a message, coming with a spoken word, you know what I'm saying? And word having, I mean, it can be funny, it can be sad, it can be romantic or whatever, but you still come in with a message, you know what I'm saying? You still come in with a story that tells our story, and you're doing it with rhythm, you know what I'm saying? You're doing it with the drums or whatever instrument, whatever. So, yeah, man. So, coming out to, you know what I'm saying, you and other, you know what I'm saying, poets, you know what I'm saying, shouts out to the Keith doing his thing at the
Nefertari,
you know what I mean? Shouts out to Dr. Denard, like, all of that. Like, you know what I mean? Like, to me, I respect that because that's carrying on tradition, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, speaking of, go ahead.
Get all his credit either, man, because Keith, not only with, like, poets, man, but Keith has been, like, the foundation for a lot of, like, rappers that have, like, come through here, you feel me? Like,
right.
Just to think at one point, you feel me, like, almost everybody in Cap 6, you feel me, like, was a part of, like, Black on Black Rhyme on some stuff, you feel me? Like,
right.
What's the name? Versailles or whatever used to kind of, like, Black on Black, like, every, like, Be Strong, Therapy, like, so many people used to, like, come through, like, Black on Black, man. So I definitely think big ups to, like, Keith Rogers, man. Shout out to the founder of goddamn Black on Black Rhyme, man. Shout out to, like, him as a mentor, man, for, like, many of us.
Word to include me. I won't part of Black on Black Rhyme, but just the extension, you know what I'm saying, from everybody that came from it. You know what I'm saying? It definitely played just as I don't want to say a customer, but a receiver of the arts. And then, you know, like I said, with the podcast, with doing a radio show and, you know, going to these shows and putting stuff together. Like, yeah. So, big up. Yo, I got to get him on the podcast. sooner or later. Speaking of, but nah. So Keith, yeah, if you listening, bro, I'll let your boy. So what can the people expect from you, bro, moving forward? You know what I mean?
Moving forward, man, I feel like I got so many things in the works, man. I got three books that are essentially finished, man, but I'm probably only going to end up dropping like two this year.
Okay.
I'm working on a little project, man, a little poetry project, man. It's probably going to have like six or seven tracks. I would say it's sensual vibes, man, sensual vibes. So people will be able to throw their panties or whatever they got to throw, you feel me, like at they crib and in their own little privacy or whatever the case may be. Working on some visuals, man, some visuals so I want people to be able to like see what I'm saying. I tell people I'm a poet, right, but I'm a writer first, man, and when I say I'm a writer, I mean I can write anything on some stuff, and I think like my I'm gonna call it my creative genius, I think, would be like put on display more when I get to like writing, like, or putting on display short stories and visuals and so on and so forth. And beyond that, man, I'm doing photography, all that stuff, and I'm really just trying to delve as deep as I can into like my artistry, man, and make it work for me. I think that's the next phase. So books, tape, some visuals, and so on and so forth, man. Just putting in the work.
Well, I'm excited for you, bro. Let people know how they can get in contact with you.
Y'all can get in contact with me on Instagram and Twitter. My name is Locked_Messiah, writing that spelled the regular way because I'm a poet and I love the way words are used correctly. And you can find me on goddamn Facebook at Curry Mike. And my email is lockmessiah@gmail.com.
All right, no doubt. So y'all make sure y'all get at my boy. He got big things coming, and I'm pretty sure half the females I was listening probably came too. So I expect high numbers for this podcast once they get to the poetry part. But yeah, man, yo, I appreciate you, bro. You know what I'm saying? Again, I apologize for the situation, but yeah. Coronavirus.
I appreciate you having me on here. I appreciate your beautiful fiance for goddamn allowing you to do the podcast. Shout out to you and your family. I hope y'all stay safe. I hope y'all stay healthy. And thank you again, man. Thank you just for having me on here.
No doubt, man. Respect. Nothing but respect. So see you guys next week. I can't look at my phone, so I don't know who I got lined up next week. Actually, I do. Y'all see it. Anyway, yeah, we out. This is the Enigma Sub Hour. You got something?
Yeah.